Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
And he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his whole train filled the temple. And he heard the angels and all the creatures in heaven cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the Bible says that and cloud filled the whole temple. And he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Father, help us. Help us to see the majesty. Help us to see the capacity. Lord, your servant has painted to us the stability of your promise. It's not subject to time. It's not subject to seasons. It's not subject to the activities of the earth. It's not subject to what is happening in hell. You have the capacity to bring to pass what you have promised. May our hearts lock into this in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will grant us wisdom to judge. That we will judge rightly. We will judge the path and we'll know where to go. In the name of Jesus. Grant me utterance this night, Father. Help me, Father, that I will bring forth your word without creating confusion. In the name of Jesus. Bless your great name, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Good evening, church. Let me greet God's servant who has been a blessing to us, Reverend Ojo Gbadegesi. I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you did not look down on us. And say, who are these who don't even know their right from their left? He has a PhD. It's difficult to talk to a PhD person. You know, that's why you just look at, when some idiots are talking, you just do like, look at it again. I feel sorry for you. Praise God. Thank you for that heart. The Lord will lift you up in Jesus' name. I want to greet Mommy and all the two mommies. Mommy Osoyinbi, Mommy Bello. Thank you for staying along. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being everything. Can you please appreciate them? Hallelujah. Don't let me say what I'm saying. Praise God. Pastor Dansu, the youth pastor, thank you very much for making this happen. We have been blessed. The two youth conventions, we have been blessed. And I'm trusting God that this meeting will mark a specific landmark in your life in the name of Jesus. That meetings you go to, that you live, you don't change. They're just like you came. And there are things you go to, there are people you listen to, that you know that God did something definite in your life. And this is one of those. And I thank God for what God has done. Pastor Dele, thank you for coming. Pastor Ogi, Pastor Akishusi, Pastor Jayola, I don't know, is he around? Okay, praise God. And all my brothers and sisters, amen. This evening, I'm just going to be sharing, you know. I told my wife, I don't know what I will say. Praise God. He has said practically everything. But I think I will just try. Are you with me? Amen. To try and see how I can put some of those things together for us. Praise God. I'm very, very passionate about implementing prophecies. Amen. Prophecies of no use if you don't know what to do about it. It's of no use to us. And I think one of the major challenges is that everybody tries to be a prophet. And that creates a confusion, a kind of confusion, because you really don't know who you should pay attention to and who you should not pay attention to. Praise God. And there are rules by which you judge prophecies. I'm not going into that tonight. Amen. But the short word of prophecy is what I'm paying attention to tonight. Glory to God. Reverend, I've said a lot of things. And where do I start? I want to start with a question Pastor Dele raised. He asked a question in the Thursday prayer meeting that if God should stop the earth from rotating, are we going to age? I don't know, many of you didn't come. And he concluded by saying we will not age. Apparently, he did not remember the story of Joshua. He said, oh, okay, we will age. Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. I said if the story of Joshua confirmed it, that the earth did not move. The sun did move. We didn't revolve around the sun. And we didn't rotate on our axis. And the earth was stationary. Amen. And creation did not die. That tells us something, that what keeps us going is not those physical things. It's not at all. Praise God. Are you with me? And so what killed Adam is inside of him. And what will make you live must also be replanted and made to live inside of you. Praise God. So you live from inside out. Hallelujah. Now that will bring me to the understanding from the book of Genesis. Praise God. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1. It's an interesting... Now, I'm not going to be spending too much time there, but I just want to show you something. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "And in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And verse 2 said, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." Please pay attention. And what happened? "And he called the light day. And the darkness he called what? Night. And the evening and the morning are the first day." Now you must realize that God does not measure day based on 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. He measures day from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. It starts from the evening. Are you with me? As far as we're concerned, right now, we are already in Sunday. I don't know whether you understand that, but that's not where I'm going this time. I'm just dropping that for you. That really we are going. So when you come back to where the pastor and Jesus spent 3 days, 3 nights, you need to understand what they were saying. They are not following the... Gregorian calendar. They don't measure it. So when you are reading scriptures, learn to switch back to the original concept of timing. Amen. So that was it. So there was light already showing, and there was night already, and there was day. Praise God. And you know, if you now go further to verse 9. Okay, before I go to there, and we go to verse 6, and it says, "And let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And he called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day." Praise God. "And the third day, he brought forth herbs. He brought forth fruits. He brought forth things that had seeds in them." Praise God. That was what he was doing. It was methodological. He was following a laid down pattern. Praise God. Then verse 14 is where I now want to pay attention to. Now in verse 14 it says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven." Now, geographically speaking, we have learned that what we call the sky, amen, what we call heaven is basically not heaven. There's still outer space. So the firmament was calling here, where he put all those lights are where? Outer space. Amen. Praise God. And so let them be for what? For signs. And for seasons. And for days and years. And let there be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Amen. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the night, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what? It was good. And the evening and the morning were what? The fourth day. Now in verse 2, he had made, he has let there be light. And so we had light, we had day and darkness, day and night. Amen. He now came here, and he was now creating light, and this means we're now dividing for signs. We're now giving light to us. Now that tells you that what really is the source of our light is not the sun and the moon. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. I need to understand this simple principle. What controls the earthly realm of seasons is the stars and those things in the firmament. Amen. But there was another one who had arrived before those guys arrived. Am I communicating? It is that light that John spoke of. It said, and this light was the light of men. Praise God. And this light shined, and this light was what? And it was a civil, it gave them civilization. Are you with me? That light brought what? Civilization. And this light was the light of men. This light shined in darkness, and darkness has not what? Comprehended it. Every movement of man is only possible when that original light shines on them. Without that light beaming on them, there can be no civilization. You can't move forward. You cannot do nothing. Praise God. Because you and I need to understand the dynamic workings of God. I think one of the problems with the Gentile church or Gentile churches is that they do not really know the God of Israel. We don't understand him. Praise God. And they have learned how to harness that power of that light. So much so that he's able to download wisdom into them. Now you were asking questions this morning about Nigeria and all that. And I remember that we had an argument. I and my pastor had an argument outside. Politically. Whether Shibaju against Tinubu. I said, oh, Shibaju can win. They were, we won in Nigeria. He said, it doesn't work like that. Amen. This thing don't work like that. The church is still too weak for God to commit the authority into their hands. We are too weak. We don't have what it takes. We've not learned nothing. We've not learned how to handle the powers of the ages to come. So how would they hand over these things to you? And I told them, if you are able to stand before the throne and wield and yank this thing from the princes that control this nation, God will give it to you. But which of you have that capacity? We don't have anyone. We have great preachers, but we don't have men that can stand before the throne and lay hold upon those powers. Now, I told Pastor, I think I've shared it in church before. I don't remember. I think it's whatever this man used to listen to, Andrew Clark. He shared something. He said, I think he went for a place and, no, it was not Clark. It was another person. I hope I remember his name. He said they went for a program over a nation. And they were praying. And in their prayer group, they had seers and so many people. So as they were praying, those seers were interpreting what was going on in the presence of God. And I tell people, when you pray, you must know that we have come boldly to where? To the throne of grace. Many of you don't go with your imagination. You just go religiously. You just think that what the Bible wrote about you coming, that you have not come to a man that can be touched. You don't understand those dynamics that is going on in the realm of the spirit. It's real. And so they were praying over that nation, and a dragon came, and he was roaring, and he had a book. And they were conversing, and they were, so God said, I can't, he was telling God, God was sitting there, said, their fathers gave it to me by covenant. The book of that nation. You know the Bible talks about books. There are books written. And in those books contain the destinies of nations and peoples. So they gave it to me. By covenant. Blood covenant and all those things. They've given it to me. This is not evangelism. You think you can take nations by evangelism? It doesn't work that way. Praise God. It's more than that. And they were saying, no. They said, you have to present your case before God. Why God must take it from his hand and give it to you? So they had to now start machining scriptures and promises and everything. And that's how they took it from his hands. Then the angel now said, no, the angel went and took it from that dragon's hand. I said, who do I give it to? And they looked around. Even the people who are praying, who are members of that, don't have the spiritual capacity to collect that book. So the angel said, if I don't find somebody to give this book to, I will return it to the dragon. So the man who's an American had to take that book on behalf of that nation until people in that place grow up to be able to handle that power and responsibilities. Amen. So when you're talking about Nigeria, I said, just look at all of us. Amen. All of you can go to politics, you will come out dirty. You know why? There's a prince that rules over this nation. If you don't dethrone him, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Listen to me, I've been in government. I know how it works. When I joined the civil service, I was a young officer on level 9. Amen. I had projects. The projects of Ondo State was in my hands. I was handling bitumen. I had cocoa. I had which other ones? Quite a number of projects was coming through my... If I don't sign it, nothing gets done. That was how powerful I was. Amen. In that when I was that young. Hallelujah. I used to travel as I liked. Hallelujah. I was going to marry. I said we are going to marry by faith. I don't remember. I didn't even have a house. I didn't even have, but I was living with a brother. I just said, I'm going to work by faith. And my parents said, where will you get money? I said, God will provide. Amen. But I didn't speak grammar. I and my wife were prayer of agreement. Psalm 34. That was our prayer point. Said he will give his angels charge over you. All the promises that I thought we will release. Hallelujah. 4 weeks to our wedding, there was still nothing. Suddenly a letter came from Vienna. Where must be Vienna? The headquarters of Yonido. No more anybody. I was a young officer. They said they wanted a chemical engineer from Ondo State to come to attend to a project that they have for Nigeria. Hallelujah. Amen. And they looked around. I saw, but there's no other person there. This small boy. That's how they called me. Like play, like joke. I was on the play abroad. Estaco fully paid. Hallelujah. Life is good when you get there. Amen. When I got to Portugal, I sat with the Oibos and realized, oh, my way to Milan now. They don't know book like me. I had to put them through. We did a project. There's a project we had. That would have been the first project in the whole of Africa. I was to handle it. But I did not know that enemies were planning for me. Where did they born? Where did they come? Jesus. Praise God. Any case, I got back and I found out something. The day I come to office and I come fired up. Once I take my seat, I will walk till afternoon, to evening. I will walk. Like they will bombard me with work. The day I just come in and say, Father, just come. No, there will be no anointing to work. I'll just be putting KIV to every paper. My mind will not open to walk one walk. Then it occurred to me that it appears that somebody is controlling this seat. And this is level 9 seat. And I ask myself, who then is controlling the governor's seat? Praise God. I will carry file and my mind will not click. I won't be able to understand what is there for me to even write a proposal to my organ director that this is what the Ondo State government should do. I can't write, I'll just throw it away.
But the day I come fired up, the thing will just open up. I say, this is how this thing works. There's a prince. In at that level, that thing was affecting me. And of course, they ganged up. They said, this boy will not go forward. When we studied the cocoa project in Indore, I looked at it and I told them that this thing won't work. The way you are going about it, work. They said, I'm too pessimistic. I said, this is not how to go about it. Has it worked? No. I'm still here today. They can't come and tell me that. Praise God. One man came to me that time. He wanted to do rabbit. He was going to be exporting rabbit for. And would have made millions. He wanted the state government to help him. But he now added one small line inside it. He said that he will force, when they give him that money, he will now use that money to go and buy cocoa. I said, this project won't go. He said, please go and expand this. The guy didn't allow. He fought me. He said he would throw me down the staircase. I said, me, I will beat you up. My uncle said, he doesn't allow me. I will remove my shirt. I will beat you up. Praise God. Years after, where did that, he saw a friend of mine in Ondo. He said, you know that engineer? I said, that engineer is what tried to. He gave a good testimony of me. And I asked myself, supposing I had compromised, what would have been my testimony? Are you with me? It's not easy to pass a revolution on social media. You have to alter it in the realm of the spirit. You have to go to where all decisions of earth is decided, and that's the throne room of heaven. If we don't go there, we are not changing jack. Going to politics is not the solution. How many politics did Elisha do? Who voted for Elisha? Excuse me? But three nations responded to him. At his word, they went out and they came in. Listen to me. The calling of the church is not to take control of the political era or political something. That is not your calling. One of the things that have destroyed the church is wrong doctrines. Praise God. And one of those doctrines is that let us go there and go and do it. You have what Pastor Ogi said. They gave authority to believers and then messed it up. Listen to me. If you see money, your Christianity will be challenged. Oh, they are stealing. You have not seen money. Praise God. How many of you have gone to bank before? You have gone to bank. You collected 1,000. Or ATM. You went to the ATM machine. What else? Do you feel anything? Go to bank and collect 1 million. That's how you realize that everybody around you is a thief. Now what is the difference? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is the difference? Somehow you just feeling secure on 1 million. Yeah, this way this guy is looking at me. This way, look. If you have a girl, I'm saying, where are you? You have not seen money. You've not seen what money can do. You've not been to places where you will see pleasure and you say, it will never be good for poverty. Like, whatever it will take, I swear, I will give even my soul, I will say. People have sold their souls because they've seen what money can do. Now, how will you follow the demands of God's kingdom that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing will be added to you? How many people have that testimony that you can look to and say, surely this guy has proved it, that this is what is true? We've not seen anybody trusting God enough for that. Because all the people we see around have no testimonies. Hallelujah. I look at people and they say, they come out for testimonies. Oh, we got car. I want to know how you got the money for the car. Praise God. Are you with me? But many won't tell you. Because they can't tell you. We can't continue like this and expect God to move us into our next season. Listen to me. Church, the church is at a critical point, just like God's servant said. Satan has bad, he has bashed us into a corner. We either will die or we have to fight back. But for don't forget the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal. Because the people we fight are not carnal. I've said it many times before that one of the greatest challenges we have in these days is the spirit of deception. Listen to me. If you're going to see what many of us don't seem to understand is there are so many things about God we don't understand. We have been told before that we want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe we need to go back again and look at that model. You are called into an army. You are not called into a church. Amen. We are too churchy. For us, church has become a social gathering. Where we meet friends. Where we do the high fives. Amen. Where we enjoy good music. Where we sit on good chairs. Listen to me. If by God's grace, God blesses us with money. For example, I've asked me to try me, to test me. Where they can test me 10 billion. I will pull this church down. And I'll build a church that when you come in and we lock the doors, we just rise up. Amen. In the air. And we float in there. When service is over, we will come down. I can promise you, we will do 10 services. People will come. Now, why? What is driving them? Pleasure. They're not looking for God. They're not interested in laying down their lives. They're not interested in knowing what is your will. They don't care. And we are pandering. We are responding. We are looking for that kind of, we want to build that kind of church that will attract people. Look, I believe in having people. Praise God. But we must have them for the right reasons. And they must, see, Jesus is the only pastor I've ever seen who drove his members away. Amen. His messages were difficult. And the Bible says that they all went away. And he turned around to the disciples and said, will you not also go? What kind of pastor does that? Praise God. But if you are sure of yourself, you don't need to bother. I hope you can get what I'm saying. Because I'm not following any Bible. You are trying. Praise God. Let me get back to the Bible. Amen. So I was talking about what? Light. Church, we need light. And that tells me that the kind of prayers we pray needs to change. The prayers the church is praying. Have you done an audit of the prayers we pray in church? Every prayer point we pray in church are all derived from selfishness. Is that the foundation of everything? Everything is about me. What I have to get. What God must do for me. And we've never asked God, God, what can I do for you? And I think we've done an exposition on the so-called Lord's Prayer. And I've said it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer of the disciples. He said, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. It's not the Lord's Prayer. If you want to learn the Lord's Prayer, go to chapter 17 on John. That's where the Lord prayed. Praise God. And one of the things the Lord told, or we learned from the Lord, is I said, this is how the world will know that these people are my disciples. They will cast out devils. Is that what he said? They will build cathedrals that when the Guinness Book of Record comes, they will do, ha. I have one sticker. Man, people will build things that you will say, ha. This is wickedness. Man of God, how can you do this? This is wicked. Bishop Edeku was building a new cathedral. I don't know what the cathedral, I don't know what they call it. Ark. I have a gist. I don't know how they want to do that engineering. It's as like a stadium. You will come in, you will sit like this, the thing will lock, and the thing will just carry room like a lift and key you into position. Amen. When service is finished, the thing will bring you down. It's there, one there. So I walk cool. Oh, okay. It's wickedness. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Some of you will leave that place and you swear you'll never come to PGT again because you have seen glory.
Amen. But the truth is that that is not how God intends to finish his work. And I was saying this here, and let me try and finish my thought along that line. Our destiny, which is one of the errors the church has imbibed, is a very big deal. Those who preach about destinies have made money. They've had fame. Praise God. Your destiny, your destiny, your destiny, your destiny, your destiny. I see people talking about, oh, people are fighting your destiny. Ah, you are fighting your glory. Who told you have any? No, really, who told you have any? Where did you read in the Bible? He said, the glory I have with the Father I have given them. Praise God. What you are supposed to have is his own glory. Our final destination, our final eternal purpose is to be like Christ. Chikena. Any other objective is Antichrist operation. Anyone that is preaching something else to you, that your destiny is to become governor, he has lied to you. That's not your destination. That is not your eternal purpose. No. Now, does that foreclose or does that say that you cannot aspire to become something? Now, that brings me to back to where I'm coming from in Genesis. Because on the sixth day, when God created man, please pay attention. He said, let us make him in our image. His primary purpose was to do what? Was to dress the garden. Amen. Man was created to walk. When you do meaningless work, you will enter depression. You must find work that has meaning. You must do things that is like you take all that will tax all the resources in your mind. And may I say this? Most often times, whatever it is that God will call you to do or what God will gift you to do will require you to draw resources beyond what is inside of you. Amen. So you need to do work. If you find out that the work that Adam did was the means by which he was going to subdue the earth. He was not going to go subdue the earth and say, I come in, I bind you in the name of Jesus, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. No. You see, he was created to work. It was while he was working that he would subdue the earth. So your capacity to subdue is tied to the work of your hands. That's why you find that God told Israel that he would bless the work of their hands. And after the high priest has come out from the temple, the pastor will stand before Israel and he will say, this is how you will bless Israel. You will invoke my name upon them and I will bless them. Amen. Because he wants you to be blessed. Praise God. But the problem we have is that we forget why he's doing all those things. Let me remember the story. You know, before they came out of Egypt, he told them, go and borrow. What did they go borrow? Earrings, gold ornaments, and all that. Now, they left Egypt. They plundered Egypt. Now, remember one thing. Let me say, come back to your story. Egypt was not a world power at the time of Joseph. The pharaohs were not rich. They were just your average Akure king. Amen. Who depends on allocation from government? It was Joseph that made Pharaoh rich. That technology, Satan turned it now. We're not in Dubai. He took their food, took their land, took everything, stripped them. And everything came under the control of Joseph. Nigeria is using it. If you find oil on your land, the full land will come and take it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Joseph gave them that wisdom. But when they left Egypt, they reduced Egypt to nothing. They plundered Egypt and left to go. Now, you would think God wanted to make Israel very rich, Abby. But that was not the purpose. The reason why they needed all those things was that they can build God a temple, a tabernacle in the wilderness. That was why he asked for it. But see, God is not the guy that will give you something and take everything away from. No, no. He asked them, give me one tenth. You know, we have been fighting that fight in the churches.
tenth, I'm not paid tithe. I'm not Christian. Old Testament. Don't pay. Don't give it. Power. I don't use the word pay. You don't pay tithe. You give. It's a giving. It's not a paying. Don't give. Satan will collect it. You must pay. Any hina, you must either give it to God or give it to Satan. Somebody must collect it. This is the law of the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. And a gift to God. And God allowed them to keep the night of it for their own self. But you see, the deed corrupted them. Corrupted them. They just got themselves messed. Because there was a God, a spirit they brought from Egypt. The spirit didn't leave them. Listen to me. The next, see, I don't have, I'm trying to process my thoughts together. Please, the next move of God will not be like the moves that have happened in the past. Please stop looking. We thank God for history. We praise God. Let us read history. Let us appreciate God. Let us learn the mistakes the people behind, before us have made. But don't expect God to move the way he moved. He doesn't do things the same way. Amen. Doesn't do it. People are praying for him. I have a friend who spent his whole life, but we came to Accra. I was a year or two before him. And he settled down. He came for NYC. He spent all his life preaching revival, revival, revival. He has died. There's no revival. Now, I'm not making fun of him. It's something that I've been asking, why is there no revival? Because his brother has been preaching it faithfully. Something is not just clicking. It's like we are not in the seasons or we are not approaching it right. Amen. And I can quickly say one thing. One is probably looking at the revivals of the past and wants to replicate that. Remember, the revival of the past is tied to one or two persons. Babalola. No, I want to have a name for my own self. The next move will not require you to have a name. They may not even tie it to you. Now, it's not about a man from Congo. I've never heard about him before. But you can be sure that you get to heaven and you meet some people that did dangerous things that they never recorded. So you have a problem. You must deal with this idea of wanting to be popular. You don't have to be popular. You don't even have to be known. In case you don't know, Paul was a very popular man for the wrong reasons. Honestly speaking, I would never invite Paul for any convention. Because if Paul comes to our convention, fight will break out. Amen. Do you want that kind of person in your church? I don't want him. So I would prefer people like Apollos. When they come, they call in Andrea or Sifin, in Andrea or Sikisha. Billion Andrea or Sifin. Oh God. 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 Did you hear that talk? It's not the tongue of Israel, it's the tongue of angels. Amen. And rev will just be flowing. Amen. But Paul, who knew that it is the same Paul that they did not like, that we pen all the revelations of the New Testament. Praise God. And somebody did say that all the other people that wrote epistles began to write epistles after they had met Paul. There's something they called, you know, anointing that rubs up on you. By the time Paul talked to them, their eyes open. The thing opened. They say, yeah. They write right down. Praise God. But to invite him, for him to be telling the church himself founded, because am I not an apostle? It's like me coming to fight two people here. When guest minister come, you will give them car. The pastor, I was blessed by your message. Just take this car. Hallelujah. And me, I will have to come with Okada to church. And he said, God bless you, brother Paul. God bless you. If I did preach with this, people come and meet you. Buy me car now. You know that kind of arrangement. Praise God. And so we need to understand that, listen, there's still going to be a day of reckoning. Why don't you allow that to occupy your mind like it's God who rewards, not man? People have left church because they were not recognized. Pastor didn't greet me. Pastor didn't say well done. Pastor even criticized the way I carried chair from here to there. I said, but then I'm leaving church. No, you didn't come here because of me. You must see he who is invisible. That is why you came. That is why you work. That is why you give your best. Because he's going to reward. Hallelujah. That will stabilize you. Not for glory. Not for fame. Not for a name. If God blesses you with a name, fine. And I found out something. All the people that have a name today did not start off to have a name. Even Mandela. He wants to have a name. It was just simply being Mandela. Ah, thank God for Mandela. I believe Mandela met Jesus in the prison. Because if it was a natural man, he releasing him, he had the power to open the gates of hell. A war for Mandela and South Africa would have gone to a civil war. Just a word. They were waiting for him. Sir, what should we retaliate? And he said, no. And that shut the gates of hell. Praise God. Who knows when you will appear for the sake of the kingdom? Remember Mordecai told Esther, for this purpose you came to the kingdom. How many of you will have that sense of responsibility, that sense of purpose, that when you arrive at that your kairos time, your kairos season, that season for which heaven has prepared you all this while. For 30 years they prepared Jesus, a carpenter. You know how many customers would have related with Jesus? I watched a film about Jesus and according to the film, he was the first person to do a four-legged table. I was shocked. It shocked you. When he did it, Mary was like, are you okay? Who will buy it? Because they don't normally eat from the ground. Sure, you understand? Mary, okay. I said I saw it in the film. I don't know. Praise God. But I was shocked that could it be true? When I see him, I will ask him. Praise God. But you see, like he said, he had become so common. But when his Kairos time came, that season for which he was raised, he knew it. The problem the church has is that we have not really paid attention to the things that have been written about us. We don't pay attention. We are more, see, I don't know how to put this. It's so clear. Listen to me. Let me try and round up my thoughts. I have this bad habit of preparing my notes and I end up not even following my notes. Just forgive me. Praise God. There's this problem we have. And that's the problem of us being distracted by God's blessings. When God begins to bless you, there are chances that you'll get distracted. Like you said, Joseph would have been distracted by his first breakthrough. He came into the house of Potiphar and they made it the head of the stewards. All of them, by necessity of your position, must bow to you. Praise God. He had great access to the master. Anything he said. But he realized that was not it. Now the Bible says the way the word of God proved him. He was proved. They deliberately took him all through those stages in life to prove him whether he will substitute the fake. He will take the fake and abandon the original. When there was no hope that the original will ever materialize, they tested him. They kept testing him. And one of the things I've always told people, the greatest challenge you're also going to face in these last days is that of offense. Oh, offenses will grow. There will be more reasons for me to offend you. I will talk anyhow. I will step on your shoes. I will abuse you. I can even knock you on the head. I can even slap your face. Am I communicating? I'm not saying I will do that. But offenses will increase. And the love of many will what? To go down. They will abandon love. Which Jesus Christ said, this is how they will know who my disciples are. The only way we can prove your love and prove your obedience is when we put you under a situation where they will offend you. I don't know what the greatest offense
I mean, that's a study. Somebody has come and preached that. The offense that Jesus Christ went through. But God, Jesus knows, and I too know. When he was on the tree and they said, come down. You're talking to me. It is me you're talking to. Father, please wait. Let me show these baggage. And that we are not classmates. Thank God they didn't send me. Amen. These are things we will face in these last days. And this is the fight of the army. Spiritual warfare is not only warfare you pray against the enemies of your family. The spiritual warfare is how you can stand when you are provoked. How you can forgive when you are offended. Do you understand? Are you with me? That is warfare. It's not that you enter a church and say, hey, Kayeno, I've come. Oh, the Son of God has come. He said, there's healing this week. How you demons? Go away. That's not, that is not just one aspect of warfare. The real warfare is when they start slapping you. And you turn the left. And then we know you are fighting. See, because you don't fight darkness with darkness. It's against the law of the Spirit. You fight darkness with what? With light. That is warfare. When people rise against you, your enemy is a speaking evil of the despise. It's bad to be used. How many of you used before? They play the fast, they pull the fast one on you. And you look at the second and was, you get me. I go show him. You know that kind of thing. But when they now use you despitefully, you just say, Lord, this one chance, I swear, I will deal with them. Jesus now said, those enemies, pray for them. Lord, what you're asking is impossible. I said, deal with a case in my community. One said that it's only God who forgives. He does not forgive. It's only God that forgives. How do I help him? How do I do that? I understand where it's coming because I've also been offended. And I have to keep going back to God. Say, God, you have to help me. Because in me, there is no capacity to forgive. Talk less of pray. I can keep quiet, though. That's the best I can do. I won't talk, oh. Are you with me? But God, who knows the heart of man, know that, bros, you go to FIR the way you are going. You think those things are not serious? Oh, sure. Oh, sure, it's going to take men to hellfire. So I have to be asking God, you have to help me. You know, so until the thing now started going gradually, the point that I can say, Lord, have mercy and help me. Maybe the prayer will change to specific prayer. Say, Lord, get this person born again. But they came as Christians, and they are leaders of the church. They are leaders that are known all over. Yet, people say, this woman, this man, Do you know him in total? Have you related with him? You don't know him. Many of you just say, I've said it before. Reverend Doctor Apostle, happy birthday, my father. On Facebook. Is he your father? They have acquired father that is no father. But you don't know him. So church, please pay attention. We have, I want to talk about just two things. There are many other things. I have shared with us many things before. I've told us about false finish lines. One of it is rapture. The church is waiting for rapture. That is the life from the pit of hell. Amen. Jesus is not coming to rapture the church as an escape route. Antichrist is coming. I am. It's not going to happen. In fact, we are going to stand and face him. Because the Antichrist is Satan's last card. I'm going to play card. What? Last card. The guy go panic. But yeah, I don't finish. Now lie. What Satan had left is what is going to point to him. The church has
our forefathers have dealt with him, that the remaining KKA that is left, he now carried and gave one man back. And isn't that one is original? And we just do like this. Are you ready? Bring it on, God. The worst he can do is kill. That's the worst he can do. Say, don't fear him that can kill the body, but he has no power over your soul. These are things that we don't teach them anymore in the churches. But they are true. Don't be afraid. That's the worst he can do. Amen. You can't go more than that. And you see the way the church has risen and has moved forward. It has prospered in times of persecution. Even I say we should have a CCTV camera, we should put somebody there so if Fulani come and kill us. If they kill us, if they come and kill you, go. Now, that one, praise God. Listen to me. I will not ask you to fight for your faith. Because the God we serve is well more than able to fight for himself. You are fighting for your land and for your own people. The different thing. So if I ask you to take your gun and shoot any Fulani herdsman that's coming to take it forever, it's okay. You go to heaven. Praise God. Then you go to heaven. I asked a senior colleague of my brother, Air Force officer, and then I appeared among the pastors. I was in Maiduguri that day and I was talking to him. He flies in the helicopter squadron, combat aircraft. I said, bro, Afia, this wala we're having with Cameroon, suppose they now ask you to go and attack a village in Cameroon and there are believers there. What will you do? He didn't even smile. Soldier. Just do like that. So I will kill them all. They are brethren. And so when I wear this uniform and enter the aircraft, I'm not a Christian. I'm a soldier. I carry out orders. I had to start thinking already. This matter is serious. Praise God. So I'm a soldier. I'm not a Christian. I'm a soldier. Praise God. It becomes different if they are captured. Anyway, and he has the one who captured them. He will treat them properly because they are what? They are brethren. But my brother, if they say, go and kill them, you will shoot and then ask yourself later. Anyway, tell God, I dispatched you to heaven. We will see where we get there. Praise God. And everything is okay. Amen. Am I communicating? Because they want to take our lands. Kill our families, kill our children, kill everybody. So if you have the capacity for self-defense, it's in the law. The law of Nigeria permits me to defend myself the way I see necessary. It's called self-defense, in case you don't know. Praise God. So don't have any qualms about the day you see me carry a case for us. Say, Pastor, you're vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated. Amen. I will not go on to say I start killing people. But it's only Fulani that comes to a gate and say, want to attack me, we organize each other. No problem. You give me extra meaning because that was not part of the time I wanted to use. Praise God. One of the second things I want to say to us, please. Jesus Christ sat down in heaven. The Bible says, God says, sit down at my right hand until I do what? I make your enemies or what? Your footstool. Remember in Psalm 2, he said, where do the hidden rage? And the people imagine the kings of the earth. What is their problem? And what the kings of the earth, how do I say? They said, this man will not rule over us. And all the laws right now, in case you don't know, they passed laws in the United Nations to make preaching. For you to call a person a sinner is hate speech. And it's punishable by prison time. Yesterday, an high official, a minister in the Biden's administration, they were talking to him about America, and he said, people will make sacrifices because we are migrating to a new liberal world order. Seasons are changing, and we don't know. They are going to crash the world economy. What will our naira do for us? Do we have a technology to deal with that financial crisis when it breaks out? We have just started talking about it. People, many of us have got many years say when bread was, we're still buying bread for 30 naira or so. Something very, I bought bread for 1 naira before. Full grown bread. Full grown bread. I have sat down to eat 5 loaves of full grown bread before. After 3 days, I had to find somewhere to go and throw up. Didn't digest. It's called Ojukoko. That's how God began to deliver me from inside time. Amen. He said, and I quote, that when this thing become expensive, we'll get 1 naira. And truth talk, they were getting 1 naira. Naira will sell. I have watched, go and Google Sri Lanka. They have no money to import anything again. Greece crashed. Economy crashed. And one other country. And they said there are about over 40 countries that are on the verge of having their economy crashing. Nigeria is on the verge of crashing. 98% of what we make is used to pay debt. What do we want to do with 2%? Meanwhile, if you know the stealing, they are stealing. If you are not careful, you will just go and jump inside the... We're just going to carry Laguna and die. Because the stealing is bad. I read the story of an aide to Amechi when he was governor of River State. You know the time when Amechi was governor? Many, many years ago. Amechi was telling him when he came out, this country is finished. He said, there is no hope in this country. He said, they are just useless people. The guy said, oh God, don't talk like this now. If you that your governor is talking like this, how can it? When Amechi now went to be minister, and the man followed him to Abuja, the man came back one day and said, oh God, Nigeria is finished. Said, did I know? They said, now I know. The only thing they do in Abuja, share money. Nobody's thinking. Just sharing it. I and Pastor Bello went to Abuja to see an House of Rep member, Federal House of Rep member from Ondo State. And we're there, we saw everything, fine office, everything. Everybody just did, and we're there, we got talking. He said, Pastor, so we don't do anything here except just do deals. All the one I see on television, he said, it's for all of you, it's photo trick. Photo trick. After that, would they just do it 1 hour plenary session? Malai, is it Malai? He will shout, hey, I will not agree. Hey, he was say, shut up, yeah. It's all drama. Not the karaoke, but that deal, how much is my own? And everybody walks away. My friend told me that during the time of COVID, do you know they've discovered high grade gold deposit in Zamfara? Virtually, the whole of Zamfara is seated on gold. That gold is enough to make us more money than what we are getting from oil. But the money is not entering the federal coffers. It's entering private pockets. Say they were flying gold out of this country every night during COVID. And the jets we have in Nigeria is over 200. So imagine 200 jets flying out of Nigeria, all of them carrying gold. It's not gold of this way too. Ghana must go gold. They had gold. They were flying out. And were making money. And here you are. Houses on strike. So you ask, how did they get under me now? They just look at you like, what's wrong with this poor man? These poor people talking? But to them, left to them, they should find a concentration camp to drop all of you poor people and push you there. You are disturbing their lives. Damiloji showed me a video of Eco-Atlantic. A flat in the Eco-Atlantic, sir, is $2.4 million. $2.4 million times 612. Flat. 3-bedroom flat. If you give me $2.4 million as I'm standing here, I will speak in tongues. Praise God. Are you with me, church? The kings of the earth are saying no. He will not rule over us. You now understand the parable of the kingdom. Said the man was going to get for himself a kingdom. And they said, we will not have this man rule over us. Praise God. But he gave talents and he gave, you know, things to his 5 servants. To do what? To trade. And he said, occupy till I what? Come. What you must understand is that we are not living in a conducive environment. The people we have been charged to trade with, we have been charged to occupy with, or occupy, you understand the English, translated, are people who hate our master. And if they hate our master, they will hate you. They are not friends. Unfortunately, we treat them as friends. They are not. So you can understand when Jesus said friendship with the world is enmity against God. But when he came back, one said, you gave me five, I multiply five. How was he able to trade with that five in the midst of a set of people that hated his master? That's where wisdom comes up. Amen. Am I making sense, church? And the Bible says he will come, and he will, after he has dealt with his servants, because Paul said that judgment will come, will start from the house of God. Amen. Once he has finished, he will never call those people that said, I will not rule over them, and then I will punish them. Amen. But when he go to heaven, and God says, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You need to understand, and I've said here before, that the feet of Jesus is not in. The Bible calls him the head. And who is the remaining part? The church is the body. It is the instrumentality of the church by which he will bring the enemy to his knees. Jesus is not coming back to do it. You now know why the present church system cannot get us there. You can't be talking about Kadara. You cannot be talking about Ogomi. And you think you can put your enemy, the enemy down. No, it's not going to work. That means the doctrines will change. The emphasis will change. Amen. The demands will change. It has to change. Praise God. And when that happens, then the Bible says something. If you go to the book of Romans, when Paul was speaking about Israel, the last responsibility the church has is how to provoke Israel to jealousy. Honestly speaking, the church has no clue. They're not even thinking about that. That rapture thing has blinded our eyes. Now we can't see. Jesus isn't coming back until Israel places a demand and says we want our God back. Right now, Israel feels they're superior to the church. Look, you can't intimidate a Jew with miracles. He's a miracle. What miracle are you talking about? As your forefathers walked through the Red Sea. Since your forefathers were worshipping Shango, have they seen angels fighting heavens? By then they write that, they give you their CV. You know that you are not even born. You don't even exist. That's why a Jew will never shake a Gentile. Because you are not an human being. It's just unfortunate that he's on earth with you. Praise God. So what do you want to do as a Gentile church that will provoke a Jew? It's not miracles. Then what Israel sought for? They didn't get it. But you that did not seek for it, you have found it. So what is it that God said you have come to find? The Bible says so. It says there is a righteousness. They were looking for a righteousness, which is not by following the law, which is not by birthright. It's a righteousness that is produced by faith. When they see the church produce that righteousness, then they will know this is what we're looking for. Have you ever lost something before, but you don't know what you lost? You don't know what you're looking for. The kidney, I'm just looking for. Kilo, I don't know, but I'm looking for something. Praise God. That's exactly the situation they found themselves. They don't know it. And that tells you that the way we are positioned, we will not get there except we change. Listen to me, and I close on this note. I've said it before. The Jews came out of Egypt. They were to do a 40-day journey. They did a 40-year journey. Sure, you remember. The reason why they did that 40-year journey was that they were complaining about their children. It was their children. They said, we can't take this land. Our children will die. They will kill our children. We can't go. Let us stay here. And God said, see, God has time. It is you that don't have time. He has time. Every promise is made and everything is said in that Bible must come to pass. The choice is which generation will make it come to pass. If you guys do meeting and say we are not able to go, he will say no problem. All of you will grow old and all of you will just die. You will marry, you have children, you have great-grandchildren. Isn't that the prayer we pray? You will live long to see your great-grandchildren. Is that your great prayer point? Amen. I want to stop greeting people for a bad day again. I'm not on the greeting party again. The real purpose is that this, a generation must rise. Is it going to be your generation? Or are you going to wait for yet another generation to come? Who will say we will implement this? We will believe God. We will believe God to bring this to pass in our time. Amen. Or will you just say, let it go? You will rise, you will grow, you will die. You will raise another generation. And he will preach the same message. Remember I said it in Hebrews chapter 4. It said the same message that you are hearing was what was also preached to them. It was all mixed with faith. God discarded them and raised another generation. Preach the same message. They did not believe. He discarded them and preached. He has been discarding generations. Will he discard our own? I want us to bow our heads to pray. The choice is on us. Whether we will discard our own or we won't discard our own. I just pray as the Holy Ghost helps you. Just pray as he helps you. Because I don't know. We need God needs to change our mindset. God needs to change our perspective. God needs to change our ambitions. God needs to put a fresh template into our hands. God needs to help us. Because if God does not help us, there is no hope. There is no hope. He has to help us. He needs to help us. And that's why the Bible says we should come before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Can you ask God, have mercy on me? We need mercy. It's not a right. It's not as if you can demand. No, it's not a demand. Lord, just have mercy. Generations have come before us. And unconsciously, they've rejected the plan of God for their lives. I don't want to reject your plan. I don't want to fail. I don't want to pursue my own agenda in the earth. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help us. Help our generation. Help your people. Help your church. What God is asking from us is impossible. It's humanly impossible. There is nothing in that program of God that any human being can bring forth. You cannot do it. There's nothing there. Coming to the full image of God is not physically, is not humanly possible. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God. Without it, it's not going to happen. Some of us, we don't even know why the Holy Ghost was given to us. The Holy Ghost is more than the gifts of the Spirit. It is more than the gifts of the Spirit. It is the person that will bring the church into perfection. It goes more than that. Lord, I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to pursue wind. Oh, many are pursuing wind. They are pursuing shadows. They are aiming for things that has no... It's like that pursuing vanity. Lord, deliver my soul. Have mercy on me. Deliver me. Do abandon me to myself. Have mercy. Give me sight. Give me understanding. Help me, Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.